following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Merry Christmas, everyone. We have a very special night planned for you guys, and Joey and Mia are going to be doing Joey and Avery. Joey and Avery. Thank you. They did a whole switcheroo on me here, but they're going to be doing a couple of the scripture reading. And Joey, why don't you kick us off, bro?
No, I'm reader too.
Or Mia. Go ahead.
No, she's reading.
This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly.
But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord had appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins."
All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us.
When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Good job, guys. Good job. Very nice. Avery, Joey, thank you guys.
Merry Christmas. Anybody know another way to say Merry Christmas? Feliz Navidad, Bona something. What was that? Yeah, that. And Melikilikimaka. And I just learned another one. It's from Indonesian, and the first word is Selama. What is it? That's it. That's it. Say that again, really loud, really loud. Selama Ari Natal. Did I get it close? All right. Hey, we're going to share a song. This is Tim. You guys prayed for Tim about a month ago. Tim was the Tim Boyd. He was the gentleman who had that just, I would call it, horrific bicycle accident and shattered some vertebrae and ribs and all that. And so your prayers worked. Look at that. He's picking and grinning tonight right here. Thank you, man. Thanks for playing. And Michelle Ellis, she was here last weekend with students from Wilson High School, and they're going to help me with a song that I wrote it last year when I was driving down from Sacramento on Interstate 5. That shows up in the first line. But just thinking, I was listening to some Christmas music by Evan Wickham, and it just put me kind of in a poetic mood, and so this is what came from it. So I hope you like it. The words are going to be on the screen. Endless line of headlights on Interstate 5. 300 miles before me on my midnight drive. And I can't help but think about those travelers long ago who made their way from Nazareth to Bethlehem of old. Oh, Joseph, rise up from your dream, oh Joseph, this is more than what it seems. I wonder if this humble man had doubts along the way, and maybe Mary's father had a word or two. When he heard his daughter's story, did he struggle to believe? And you know it had to break his heart the day he saw her leave. Oh, Joseph, hold her close to your heart. Oh, Joseph, this is only the start. Well, the road was choked with refugees, the weary and the worn, and the world lay all in
in shambles in the year that he was born. And peace was just a memory, and hope had all but died. But this baby broke the darkness, oh, the moment that he cried. Oh, Joseph, hold him close to your side. Oh, Joseph, hold him gently when he cries. Oh, Joseph, there's mystery in the air. Oh, Joseph, there are angels. I can almost see the Father as he looks down from above, and his Son begins the journey in this world that he so loved, to bear our sins and sorrows and to lift our heavy load and to travel every mile with us on our midnight road. Oh, he is with us all the way. Oh, let's lift our hearts in praise.
Let's sing together.
The herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and skies with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Oh, Joseph, there are angels everywhere. Oh, Joseph, there is mystery in the air. Oh, let's lift our hearts in praise. Oh, he is with us all. Bear our sin and sorrow, and to lift our heavy loads, and to travel every mile with us on our midnight road.
Well, again, Merry, Merry Christmas to you. I have a title for the message tonight. I'm calling it The Perfect Gift for You. It's kind of been the theme all of this this month. But I was thinking it kind of makes sense to put a subtitle under it, like long ago in a Galilee far, far away. Right? That's not original. I saw that on Instagram somewhere. I couldn't pass that by. But all this month, we have been looking at the Christmas characters, and I hope it's been informative for you. A couple of weeks ago, you guys looked closely at Mary, Mother Mary. Well, I was up in Pocatello, Idaho, when I did the shepherd for the first time this month. I had been asked to do that drama that I did here on the weekend, the Simeon drama, All Is Well. I did that. Think about this. Here I am. I'm a man, right? And I was asked to do this drama for a women's Christmas soup and tea. And so I debuted it there. But afterwards, I did the drama. Then I spoke a little bit, you know, just about the story as well and opening our hearts to receive Jesus. And I spoke a little bit about Mary. And there was a mother and her daughter who came up to me afterwards. And I'll never forget this. She said, "Thank you so much for speaking so highly and so kindly about Mary." And her daughter were a Catholic. And I think they're used to, like in you know, Protestant circles, Mary doesn't always get the high fives I think that she deserves. How many of you would agree that Mary did a pretty remarkable thing by saying, "Okay, be it unto me according to your will, God." God gave her this offer and she said, "I'll do it." That's just off the charts of willingness, you know, to see her life interrupted and say, "Okay, I'll go with you, God." And so I spoke about Mary, or you guys spoke about Mary here, and then you had Brother Joseph, and last week we talked about this mysterious man, Simeon, and even more mysterious, his prophetess, Anna. And we'll get into a little bit more of the characters of Christmas this coming weekend on our weekend services here, but tonight, we got to look at Jesus. We got to take a close look at the baby. Come on, this is his party after all, isn't it? But it's an interesting kind of party. Because when you look at this child and what he came to do, we know it just starts on Christmas. It just starts on that day of his birth. And we know that there's a cross in his future where it all culminates. But when you realize this, that when God gave his son, here he comes on his birthday, and he's the one bringing the gifts. How many of you do that on your birthday? You give gifts to everybody else? Well, Jesus came bearing gifts for us. So I want to look at this perfect gift for you. How many of you got an idea about the perfect gift you want for Christmas? Anybody, any kids here? You got an idea about what you want? We're not talking tonight about the perfect gift of a hoverboard, okay? Or an iPad or an iPhone 6 Plus or anything like that. And by the way, I don't know if you saw this in the news a week or so ago. They were pulling back some of the hoverboards because they're catching fire. It was that same day in a magazine or a newspaper. I'm just flipping through it, and it said, it was an ad for the hoverboards. It says, "The hottest gift this Christmas." And it was literal. I mean, they were blowing up and catching fire. But we're talking about the best gift that's ever been given. Now, there are bad gifts, too. What would you say is probably the worst gift that you could probably get tomorrow for Christmas? Yeah, what would it be? Socks. Skateboard. What's it? The cake, the fruit cake. Quit picking on the fruit cake, okay? It's a gift you can keep on giving, you know, just pass it around. And maybe a bad sweater is not, or an ugly sweater is not on your gift list. But I think one of the saddest gifts is the gift that never gets opened. And for some reason, maybe you have gifts like that in your home that you picked out for a friend or a family member. And maybe the sad truth is that they're not with you anymore. And what a hard, hard thing that is. But a gift that just was maybe refused. When it was a Christmas and I was maybe 13 or 14, and I had a crush on this girl named Elkie back in Ohio. Isn't that an exotic name? Elkie. Only problem, she did not have a crush on me. So when my mom drove me all the way across the countryside to knock on her door and to give her this perfect little Avon gift that my mom was just sure she would really, really love, she saw me at the door and she said, "I don't want anything from you." Oh, it hurts to this day. But the refused gift or the unopened gift or the lost gift. How many of you have lost gifts? A.K.A., let me put it this way, also known as gift cards. You got a gift card and you can't figure out where in the world that is. It happened to me this year. I can't remember if it was Christmas last year or Father's Day or a birthday, but I got three REI cards. How many of you would say REI is your toy store, guys or gals? I love, you know, browsing through there. So I thought, I'm going to be brilliant. I don't want to put all three of them in my wallet. That makes my wallet a little too fat. So I'll go to REI and I'll say, "Could you consolidate these for me?" And they did it, which means what? It's just easier to lose them all in one fell swoop. So mission accomplished. I have no idea where they are. Although I had an idea. The possibility might be I was giving somebody my business card and I accidentally gave them my REI card. So if that's you, if that's one of you, and you're thinking, I still don't have his address, but, you know, gee, thanks. Well, Merry Christmas. I won't ask you to give it back. But those lost gifts, and maybe for some of you, as we're talking about Jesus tonight, Let's be really honest. I would imagine there's folks here that would say, I used to feel like I had a grip on Jesus, an understanding, maybe even a relationship with him, but that's a long time ago. And maybe that's the lost gift for you tonight, and you can recover and rediscover that gift. It is the absolute perfect gift for you. But I think, you know, just talking about some of our typical gifts, and I don't know how you approach gift wrapping, but I like to do it really, really simple. I don't do it so much anymore, but when Joy and I first started going together, we didn't call it that at the time. We were Christians. We didn't, and back in the 70s, we didn't talk about dating, and we were too old to be going steady. But, you know, we would go out, and we would fellowship, you know, and after we'd been together for a little while, I wrapped up a gift for her I just thought it was brilliant, you know, in newspaper. It was cheap. I mean, I had it, and then I took it up a notch in the next gift, and I wrapped it up in the comics, the colored, you know, newsprint. But what I'd love to do now, especially if it's kind of what I think is kind of a cool gift, I'll wrap it up in just plain brown paper, so that the wrapping doesn't sort of overwhelm magnitude of the gift. And when you think about this gift that came in the person of Jesus Christ, isn't that how he came? He wasn't anything to look at. The scripture says that. Now, scholars disagree on whether it's just talking about he wasn't handsome to begin with, or whether it's talking about the condition that he was in as he headed to the cross. It says there was no beauty, no comeliness about him that we would even, you know, desire to look upon him. But I think the truth is Jesus did not stand out in a crowd. It's been said a number of times over the radio this Christmas week that Jesus did not come into the world in an obvious Messiah package. He did not glow in the dark when they laid him down on the manger. That would have kept the sheep and the cattle. Maybe that's why they were lowing all night, because he's glowing in the dark and lighting up the stable and they want to get some sleep. No, Jesus looked normal. He just was a normal-looking Jewish baby boy that was here among us. And just remarkable that he came in that, what you would call that, just that plain brown paper wrapper. But the gift that was in him was just remarkable. He is the perfect gift for you. And the gift is in that name. Now what's his name? Everybody say it. Jesus. Okay, now the rest of you know that you know the answer to the test. Let's all say it together. His name is Jesus. But how do you say his name? Where you come from? If you were born here in the West, well, that's the name we use, Jesus, Jesus Christ. If you go south of the border, that name is pronounced Jesus or Jesucristo. If you're from another culture, it's probably pronounced even differently for you. If you're from Romania or Croatia or some of the other European nations, it's Jesus, Jesus. And it means the exact same thing. And no, the name Jesus or Jesus does not come from the false god Zeus. There's a rumor going around that it's really not his name. Yes, it really is his name, as it's translated from one language to another, this Jesus. If you're Arabic, the Arabic Muslims speak of him as Isa. Now, they've got a very different Jesus. It doesn't really equate with the Jesus in our Bibles. It's a very, very different character. And so non-Muslim or Christian Arabs, Arab-speaking people, they pronounce the name Yasu or Yasua. They're very, very kin to the Hebrew pronunciation. How do you say Jesus' name in Hebrew? Yeshua. Yeah, everybody say it. Yeshua. And so in Arabic, it's Yasua. In Haitian Creole, it's Jay-Z. In Irish and Scottish, it's Iosa. But Yeshua, I love that name. But that name, that little boy, has a few more names that we're going to talk about tonight. I don't know how many names you have. Is there anybody here that has more than one middle name? Raise your hand if you got more than one middle name. Anybody? One, two, do you? Jesse, what's your full name? Jesse Nathaniel Jerome. That's my son-in-law, and I didn't even know that other name. Jesse Nathaniel Jerome Quintana. Does anybody here not have a middle name? Let me see your hand if you don't have a middle name. One, two, three. Oh, man, I have got a gift for all of you tonight. You never have to hang your head again when somebody says, you don't have a middle name, we're going to give you a middle name, and it comes right out of our message tonight. And it's a good name for guys, it's a good name for girls. It's the other name that the prophet said to call this child. Call his name Jesus, or call his name what? Emmanuel. So you are now, you can go to the courthouse, tell him, here's the name, put it in my records. I am so-and-so Emmanuel. Jesus had a lot of names. A lot of different titles, a lot of different names that he was known by. And there's a lot of people that have a ton of names too. Here's a couple of them. See if you can guess this person. It's an actress. Julia Scarlett Elizabeth Louise Dreyfus. Okay, how about this one? Joseph Albert Twistleton Wickham Fiennes. Joseph Fiennes, the actor. How about this? Well, this guy's not really an actor. Well, by some people's estimation, he might be. Charles Philip Arthur George Mountbatten Windsor Prince Charles. But listen to this one. Okay, I'm going to change just one name in this man's list of names. But this was his baptismal name. Paul Diego Jose Francisco de Paula Juan Nepomuceno Maria de los Remedios Cipriano de la Santísima Trinidad Ruiz y Picasso. That was Pablo Picasso. But back to Jesus, this little guy that has a lot of names. And we read it in the book of Matthew, but here's where it comes from in Isaiah. Let's read this together. It says, therefore the Lord himself will give a sign, and behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. Here's the question. Why didn't Mary and Joseph call him Emmanuel? The prophet said, call that boy Emmanuel. Well, the angel said, call him Jesus. And really, here's the answer to the question, I think, that how do we know they didn't call him Emmanuel? Just because it's not recorded in Scripture, there's not too many words from Mary and Joseph that are recorded in Scripture. I would imagine they did call him Emmanuel, and they knew what it meant. They knew that it meant God is here with us. Can you imagine, ladies, you're holding your baby, and you're looking down into that little Jewish face, and you're thinking about what the angel said to you, Emmanuel, Jesus, God with us? I'm holding God. Better not drop him. You know, will God break? Will God bruise if I drop him? Can you imagine her comparing her baby with other neighbor babies? Does your baby look as much like God as my baby looks like God? But they knew who he was. They didn't understand it any more than we understand it, but that was God here among us. And also with the name Emmanuel, think about the cool nicknames. They could call him M or Emmy or Manny or Manuel, all kinds of names, but they knew who this child was, that he had been sent to save us from our sins. There's lots of other names and lots of other titles. This boy that has more names than Picasso, here's a few of them. Lord and Savior and Rabbi, which means the scholar. The sort of exalted teacher, and the Son of Man, which meant he was just like us, truly man, Son of God. That mystery in his character, that he really was truly man and truly God, all at the same time. The King of the Jews, he was their sovereign, but beyond that, he was King of all kings, and he was Lord of lords and Lord of hosts. That means the God of angel armies. He had all the armies of heaven at his beck and call if he needed them, and of course, Messiah, which meant the one that would deliver us. And we have a fistful of other new titles for him now. A couple of my favorites are these. I know this about Jesus. Same thing that John knew when he wrote his gospel. He's the lover of my soul. I'm the one that he loves. I know he loves me. And he's a lover of your soul too. One of my favorite phrases, one of my favorite titles for this Yeshua, this Jesus, is that he's also the friend of sinners. Is anybody thankful that he's a friend of sinners in here? And by the way, if you're brand new here, I kind of allow the church to exercise a little bit when they come to church. You know, a few hand raises here and there. You burn a half a calorie every time you raise your hands. If you raise them both, it's 2 calories. So just do yourself a favor with what's coming up your way tomorrow with all that food. But is there anybody, let me ask that again. Is anybody here thankful that Jesus loves and is a friend of sinners? By the way, are there any sinners in the house? You only need to sin once and you're a sinner, by the way. He loves you. He's the friend of every broken soul in this whole planet. He loves you more than I could ever tell you. But there's a few more names. Another short list, and we're going to read this together. It's from Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah seemed to be all about these names for our Messiah. Let's read together. It said, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. That's our Savior. That's what he came to bring every one of us. Wonderful. He's the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, everlasting Abba. Think about what all of these mean. You know what the word wonderful means in terms of a name for Christ? It means he does wonderful things. And that word wonderful, it means unexplainable. It means he does things that you can't figure out. He does things for you that all you know is, I got something I didn't deserve, and I got something I did not do for myself. How many of you would say, get ready, here we go again. How many of you would say, there's something that God has done in your life that you just don't understand how he did it? Anybody? I've told this story before. When I was 18 years old, I came to Christ. I was a wreck of a human being by 18 years old. And into all kinds of ugly stuff and unhealthy stuff and just bad stuff. I was the kind of man that I told my kids to stay away from. And I would tell you, keep your kids away from the kind of guy that I was at that point. And on November 9th in 1970, when I bowed my stubborn soul before God, and I just basically said in so many words, help. I can't help myself. I can't change myself. He heard me. He heard me, and he saved me that night. And I knew it, and it was instant. But all I'd ask him to do was to forgive my sin. I just wanted him to lift that shame and that guilt. It was 2 weeks later. And any of you know Long Beach very well? Anybody spend time in Long Beach? 7th and Juanapero. There used to be a Safeway market right there. Now it's Savers or something else. But I remember coming out to the end of that sidewalk, and I stopped. I checked my pockets. And I thought, I didn't steal anything in there. I didn't. And I thought, I haven't stolen anything for 2 weeks since I gave my life to Jesus. I had not asked him to break my thievery, but he did something wonderful in me. It was 4 months before that I got arrested with a friend at JCPenney in Downey. Anybody ever been in JCPenney? I got wrestled to the ground along with my friend by one security guard that handcuffed us, put us in the back of a squad car, and took us to jail that night. I told this story in the first service, and my grandkids said, Papa Bill, you went to jail? How many times you go to jail? And so I had to tell them this story about the kind of man that I was. And I remember sitting in that jail thinking, I can't stop this. I can't stop it. And without even asking him specifically, he stopped it like that. That's a wonderful God. He's wonderful. He's our counselor. You need wisdom? You need direction? He's your counselor. Listen to him. Read his words. Call upon him. But he's the mighty God. He's your champion. He's the strong one that fights on behalf of you. And he's your everlasting Abba. Abba. One of the things I love about Israel is hearing the children call their parents Abba. Not in church. They probably do that there too, but at the beach and at the cafes and just in casual talk. And maybe Jewish dads get as tired of hearing Abba, Abba, Abba as you do, Daddy, 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 Daddy. I don't know, but it sounds beautiful to me. You have an Abba. You have a father, a papa. You have a God who welcomes you and will nurture you like a good father will nurture you because he loves you. Just as a father, because he is your father. I love that part that says it's an ever-increasing kingdom and this eternally growing peace. From who? From our Prince of Peace, who came to give us not just national peace. Peace starts down in the heart, right? You see, in Jesus' day, they wanted peace as much as you want peace. How many of you wonder if we will ever, ever know real peace on this earth? Has anybody ever, maybe even now, you've begun to wonder if this next group of politicians can do it for us? I tell you, my hope is not in them. And it hasn't been for a long, long time. But in Jesus' days, there was the promise of peace from the politicians. It was the Roman peace, or the Pax Romana, which, by the way, it never came. The Pax Romana never arrived. Re Romana never arrived, too. But the Roman peace, it never made it. Because it never will make it. And here we are again, every 4 years, trying to listen to the one that says, I can do it. Just give me this broken nation and I can fix it for you. And I don't know if you're hitching your wagon to Hillary or Rubio or Trump or Cruz or Carson, but don't trust them to fix the world. Because you know what they'll run into? They'll run into the same thing that everybody runs into and every politician runs into. The problem, the problemo, is this. It's human nature. Because we're still just a world full of humans who have the same fallen human nature, and we continue to commit all seven deadly sins and those that aren't quite so deadly, at least by our estimation. That's why no man is ever going to fix this. I have a very good friend in Australia, and he sent me a message by Facebook yesterday, and I hardly ever see messages from Facebook, but his name is Mark. And he's kind of, you know, keyed into politics, and he keeps an eye on things over here. And he sent me a message that says, "Bill, I've been watching the political stuff going on over there." He said, "You guys have problems." He's paying attention, isn't he? You have problems. And not that they don't have problems too, but he said, who's your hope in? And my hope is only going to be in Jesus. I'll pray for my nation, and I'll vote for whoever I think is, you know, the most likely person that could make some kind of difference and bring decency. But his kingdom, see, when Jesus' kingdom is set up, his kingdom will ever increase, and the peace will never stop. Ever, ever, ever. Of the increase of his dominion, his government, his empire, his rule, there will be no end. Look at this same passage in the New Living Translation. His government and his peace will never end, and he will rule with fairness and justice. That's novel, isn't it? Fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. He'll come and bring the peace we've been looking for, and here's how. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. I love that phrasing there. His passionate commitment to us. He will show us how peace can really be enjoyed on this planet as he comes, and all that he is unfolded. Why so many names on this little baby? Call him Jesus. Call him Emmanuel. God is with us. The wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Here's why. I think it's obvious. As you get beyond the plain brown wrapper of this wonderful Savior, who started just like a little Jewish baby in that manger. Get beyond that plain brown wrapper. And this child with all of these names, more names than Picasso, as you open that gift up, it's the gift that just keeps on what? Giving. What do you need? What is it that you need from Jesus tonight? Do you need peace? He came to bring you peace. Do you need counsel? Do you need wisdom? He's come to give you that wisdom if you'll listen to him and you'll walk with him. Do you need a wonder? You need something done in your life tonight that no man can do? Maybe something done in a marriage that no one can do? Even our counselors and our pastors, no one can do that. But Jesus can do that. He said, that's what he came to do. Whatever it is that you need, he's the one that you need. Yeah, this is Christmas. We call it the joyous season, but people still bear burdens, even at this time of year. And those burdens are especially heavy at this time of the year, especially if it's a burden of loss of a loved one. In the first service today at noon, there was a sister in tears, 48 years of marriage, and he passed away this month. There was a brother in our 5 p.m. service that came in, and we're singing beautiful, joyful songs, and the tears just running down his cheeks. His wife went to be with Jesus this year, too young by my estimation. But you bear those burdens this time of the year, and they're heavy. Maybe there's regrets, whatever it is, but that's why Jesus came, to bear your burdens and to walk every mile with you on whatever your midnight road looks like, whatever the darkest path of your life is. That's why he came. So what's your greatest need? And will you bring that need to Jesus tonight and let him do what he came to do? Because Jesus is all that, and he's more. More than that. Our greatest need begins with letting him be our Savior. And I wonder if there's anyone here tonight, maybe you've lived this far, and you've never yet said it like this maybe. Jesus, I want to thank you for dying for my sins on the cross. Because this story, this Christmas story, it goes beyond a baby wrapped in rags, laying in a manger. He went to the cross so you could be set free from the burden of your sin. He came to save you. And I just encourage you, I would beg you, let him save you. Let him do what he came to do. Today we celebrate the fact that he came for us. You know, but I wonder how many have allowed themselves to receive this perfect gift. See, he came with this intent that we'd come to him and that we would receive that perfect gift of love and mercy and life and forgiveness. He came to give himself. That's the gift. And all those wonderful gifts are wrapped up inside that gift. All of them are in him, in that one perfect gift, as you continue day after day to unwrap it. Now, some live their entire lives without ever opening the gift. And it's right there. Your name is on it. And maybe you've lived 30, 40, 50, 70 years, and you've never opened up that gift of salvation and let Jesus take what's left of your life. Tonight, I want to invite you to pray with me as we pray together, to just open that heart and let him have you. And maybe you are that person that had a grip on that gift a long time ago, but you let that slip. It's time to come back. That gift has been found. He's right where he was. You ever heard this? If you feel far from God, guess who moved? He didn't move. Maybe you stepped away, and it's time to step back. And he invites you back tonight. Let him be your Emmanuel, because life does not work without Emmanuel. It doesn't work without God with you and in you through Christ. So I want you to pray with me. And I want to encourage you right now as we pray to bring God the one present that he wants. And that present is you. It's you. And if you hear me say that right now and you may be thinking, oh, I can't give him my life in the mess that it's in. That's what he wants. All he wants is your broken life. And let him begin to put the pieces of it together. But I don't know where all the pieces are. He does. And he'll begin to, he won't patch you up. He'll make you what? New. So we're going to pray together. Simple prayer of invitation to receive, or acceptance to receive that gift of Jesus Christ. And if your heart tonight is saying, yeah, that's me, I'm ready, I'm going to invite you to pray out loud with us, because we're going to pray out loud. Aren't we, congregation? We're going to say this to him. So let's pray like this. Father in heaven, thank you for the gift of Jesus, who came to die for my sins on the cross. I have sinned. I'm sorry for my sin. But I need you to help me overcome that sin. Please forgive me and come live in my life and make me the person that you want me to be. In Jesus' strong name, the rest of my life is yours. Now let me ask you a question. How many of you prayed that prayer from the depths of your heart, saying, I know it's time for me to give what's left of my life to Jesus? Let me see those hands. Anybody? Oh, God bless you guys. God bless you. Yeah, amen, amen. Let's thank the Lord for what he's doing here tonight, what he's done. It's what he came for. You bring, it's a season of presence, right? And I love the way Paul said, present yourselves a living sacrifice. Present, pronounce it different. What is it? It's a present. And you give Jesus a present, and he's thrilled to take what's left of your life. We're going to sing one more song, and then we're going to light some candles. By the way, oh, I messed this up last time. We're going to light the candles. Raise your candle if you got it. We're going to light the candles as we are singing this song. There's two rules in candle lighting, okay? Once your candle is lit, keep it just like that. If your candle is not lit, tip it over so you can light it. So when it's lit like that, when you're trying to light it like that. I know that sounds like kindergarten, but we must have some preschoolers in here every year, because we always find wax on people and all that. So as the guys come down the aisle with the lighters, they're going to light the ones on the edge and then just pass it down. And kids, be careful there, okay? And we're gonna sing a song here that we've been doing for a couple of years, and we always do it at Christmas time. Oh, and I got to get my glasses again. It's called Peace to You. And you guys have learned it well enough. You can sing every word off of the screen as we sing together. And once everybody's candles are lit, go ahead and start. Once everybody's candles are lit, go ahead and turn the house lights down, and you're going to love this. This is just going to be a beautiful time.
Peace to you, every tongue and every nation, every tribe and generation, Christ is born. Son of Mary, Holy Son of God, peace to you, peace to you. Peace that passes understanding, now and everlasting, Christ is born. Son of Mary, Holy Son of God, peace to you.
In the city of David,
in the city of David, a baby cries. God among us in disguise, a precious virgin her secret keeps as the world sleeps. Peace to you, peace to you, to the broken and the lonely. Humble and the holy, Christ is born. Son of Mary, Holy Son of God, peace to you.
A child is born.
A child is born, a son is given. His name will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and the Prince of Peace. Peace to you, peace to you. From this gentle little stranger, sleeping in our manger, Christ is born. Son of Mary, Holy Son of God, peace to you. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth. Peace to you. Peace to you. Now the humble and the holy seeks, the broken and the lonely, Christ is born. Son of Mary, Holy Son of God, peace to you.
Now let's sing together. Oh, come, let us adore him.
Oh, come, let us adore. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Now let me have you stand carefully, carefully. Hold your candles still. But I want you to sing just one phrase. It'll be up on the screen as if you need it. Peace to you. Just sing that.
Peace to you.
Sing it again now.
Peace to you. Peace to you.
Okay, now here's what you're going to do. Instead of looking this way, I'm going to ask you just to turn around a little bit. Be careful with your candle, but turn around a little bit. Look somebody in the eyes. Maybe the people you came with, and then find a stranger. And sing to them, peace to you. No laughing, just singing, okay? You can do this. Let's try it. Here we go.
Peace to you. Peace to you. Peace to you. Peace to you.
Peace to you.
Peace to you.
Go ahead, turn around. A couple more people.
Peace to you. Peace to you.
One more.
now this gentle little stranger will be called the friend of sinners.
Okay, look up here.
Peace to you.
Don't clap. Don't clap. Peace to you, too. And the band is going to come back up and get ready to sing our closing song. You know what it is. It's Silent Night. So, but I want to do something while they're coming.
There you go.
I want to know how many of you came to the Lord, and you can turn this one off up here, too, unless they need it. I need you. Can you light my candle? I'm going to have her do it. Can you? Thank you. What's your name?
Mia.
Mia. Oh, I know another Mia. You know my Mia too? Yeah. How old are you, Mia?
10.
What are you excited about Christmas for? Hanging with family. And here's your family. But I want to know how many of you in here came to know Jesus in this last year. If that's you, somewhere in this last year, would you lift your candle up real high? We just want to see that. Way in the back, I see two. One up at exact the same time. Anybody else? One over there. One over there. Praise God. We won't clap, but we'll woohoo. Okay. Okay. Other than this first year, let's say up to 10 years back, how many of you came to know Jesus in the last 10 years? Lift those candles. Lift those candles. All right? Yeah. All right. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. How many of you came to know Christ, let's say, somewhere in the last 30 years? And we'll go ahead and compile the candles. If it's somewhere in the last 30 years, lift those candles. Man, place is getting bright, okay? How about, and I'm in this category, in the last 50 years, raise your candle if it's somewhere in the last, and all of you that have already raised, you can raise it again too. Okay, now we're going to ask everyone that's raised your candle already to keep it down. I want to know anybody who's beyond 50 years ago is when you started walking with Jesus, and beyond that, lift your candle if you're 50 years in the Lord or longer. Praise God. Yeah. These are the journeymen. These are the veterans. And but you know what? These candles really are meant to represent something. We're going to blow them all out in just a little bit. And you're going to see how dark this room is, because we're not going to turn the lights on. You're going to have to leave in the dark. No, we won't do that to you, but it's meant to illustrate this. You and I live in a dark world. It's true. And there's bright spots in it, but we live in a dark world. And your little tiny light is noticeable in the darkest of worlds. So let's not stop letting our light shine before men. Amen? Let's let the world see and let the world hear. Let your light so shine before men that they'll see your good works and glorify Abba, who's in heaven, who sent you their way so they could hear about him. All right? So holding on to our candles, let's sing Silent Night together, okay? And all of you that are watching at home, light a candle or burn a newspaper or something. And outside. Let's sing.
Silent Night, holy night. All is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child. Holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep. Shepherds
Can I ask you to come up here a second? I'm going to have you help me. And the only candle that we're going to leave burning here is Mia. Okay, so stand all the way right up here. And if we can turn off the stage lights as well, I want everybody on the count of three, except Mia, to to blow out their candle. You ready? And stage lights too? Okay, here we go. One, two, three. Let me ask you, do any of you have trouble seeing this candle up here? Do you see what a difference one light in a room can make? And that's you. And hopefully that's me too, and Mia as well. But if you'll let your light so shine before men, they will see those good works and they'll glorify your Father who is in heaven. And I'm going to take a picture of just that one light right here. Oh, man. Okay, this will be news at 11, okay? Let's turn the lights back on, and Mia, go ahead and blow that out. Yeah. All right. Now you can clap. Well done, Mia. May the Lord just so richly bless you. May you have the most awesome, wonderful Christmas. I'm sorry again. I always aim at an hour service. It looked good on paper, but we blew right past it. But I hope you've had a wonderful time tonight. Grace and peace upon you in the strong name of Yeshua, Jesus, your Savior. Keep opening that gift. God bless you.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.